Hey everybody, welcome to the Slick Tree Podcast. I'm your host, Colby Langford. The point of this show is to help improve ourselves as dog men and to raise the quality of the dogs on the end of our lead. So let's settle in, turn the volume up, and let's see if we can't learn a trick or two together from our guests.
I trained him, and he lived 10 years old, hunted him hard his whole life, but traveled around, met lots of people. But I had some buddies that come up every year, and we was hunting one day, and a limit is 10 a person, and there was actually five of us. We'd split up into two groups, and we was hunting, and we missed our limit by two squirrels. We killed 48 squirrels, but during that time, we'd made a tree with skillet and went to him and killed the squirrel, and he retrieved, he'd carry the squirrel back to wherever, you know, bring it to you. If we were road hunting, he would bring it to the buggy or the truck, just whatever. But so he'd picked up that squirrel and was heading back, and I seen him come by me and seen him go on over to another tree, and he just laid that squirrel down at the bottom of the tree and just went to treeing, and he had another squirrel, and that just amazed everybody that was with me. And I've seen him do that a lot in his life, but that was a pretty unique deal that I've never seen happen before or after that. And you think about it, how does a dog able to smell another squirrel when he's carrying one in his mouth? Mm-hmm. But I've seen him do that multiple times where he did that, but everybody was just amazed. And that was a talk at squirrel camp, you know, that time. They just couldn't believe that he could do that, you know.
I can believe it. A dog's nose is really, really something that's hard for me to fathom when you think about just how good it is. Because I've never heard of a squirrel dog doing it, but I've seen bird dogs point with a quail in their mouth, and I don't know if they can just smell the difference in individual animals that clearly.
Right. Well, I don't know if, like, when they're dead, if they smell different than when they're alive, or how that is either, but, I actually had him do it twice one time. We killed a squirrel, walking back, he was carrying it out, laid the squirrel at the bottom of the tree, treed another one. I went ahead and put it in my game bag, went to walking out, and he did it again.
Really?
And it's just, I don't know, you just don't see a lot of dogs do that, you know. Like I said, I've never seen any other dog do that.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
He was my buddy from day one. We traveled a lot of miles together, spent lots of nights in motels and slept in my truck traveling around, and you know, just you name it, he was just a special dog.
Well, everybody, you are listening to the Slick Tree Podcast, and this is another installment of the Good Old Dog series. Today we're joined by Randy Smith, and we're talking about his dog Mo Meat in the Skillet. How you doing today, Randy?
Hey, doing good, Colby. How are you, buddy?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. So your dog Skillet, pretty well known dog. What else can you tell us about him, Randy? How did he hunt? What did he hunt like?
Well, you know, here I live in the hills of Missouri, and you know, I walk hunted him a lot when he was young. Started him, and he would roam out to 400 or 500 yards, and eventually, a lot of times, he would go deeper. You know, I've went to trees with him a half mile away before, but you know, most dogs don't have to go that. He wouldn't have to go that far if he was absolutely any squirrels at all. He would tree at your feet, and he would tree wherever he had to go to do it. Hunted good, smart, winded, could wind squirrels, could run it, work a track, you know. Didn't actually have his nose on the ground, but just kind of, he could run a track really well. He was just right for me. I don't think a dog should have to go over quarter of a mile, you know, to tree a squirrel. Really, he'd hunt around you every direction. Mm-hmm. He'd come by you once in a while.
So it sounded like he had a really nice handle on him. Was he a house dog for you, or was
I never
he
had him
dog?
In the house, but he would absolutely worked in the house. A lot of his pups, actually, people took in the house when they were little and were just naturally housebroke. It was kind of amazing the stories you got from them. But he would do anything I wanted him to do.
So what can you tell us about his conformation? He kind of had a fairly unique yellow brindle, not to be confused with albino brindle, but kind of a lighter brindle color, wasn't he?
Yeah, they actually call it, like in boxers and stuff, it was a reverse brindle. He had an underlay of light coloring with the dark on top, or usually it's the dark underneath with the light on top.
Gotcha.
But he was a small dog. He weighed 40 pounds, all heart. He wasn't necessarily the most athletic, smooth running dog like you sometimes see, but you couldn't wear him down. I mean, I actually coon hunted him one night, and he went about 25 miles. I'd send him and come back, and then we road hunted some too. So I kept up with everything, and he was all heart. He would never fail to hunt. And it didn't matter. He had Ehrlichia at one time, which takes a lot out of him, and it did a little bit there. I could tell a difference in him. Took him to the vet and found that out, but laid him up about a week or so, but even went and finished him to Squirrel Champion with that. Even, I mean, he was just unique in a lot of ways. His conformation, like I said, he was small, had a good head. He had a weird, kind of a weird ear set. I've got some buddies that kind of made fun of his ear set a little bit, but he was just about right for me. I like a smaller dog anyway.
Yeah. Did you coon hunt quite a bit with him?
He treated a lot of daytime coon, and I didn't actually night hunt him till he was five. And another funny thing about him is he never treed a possum. He made very, very, very few squirrel trees at night. He was just automatically straight. He had a big dying locate on the tree on coon only. It was unique, and just it'd almost give you goosebumps or make the hair stand up on the back of your neck to hear it. It was just so awesome. He was a really good tree dog as well.
How was skillet bred?
He was almost like what they kind of call it a hybrid, but his daddy was streak bred and his mama was Kimmer. He was like a 50-50 cross, really. Hunted with his mama quite a bit, but they say that works really well, the streak and the Kimmer cross. A lot of times they won't reproduce, they say, or just what I've been told quite a bit by a lot of the old timers. He did, but that seems to work pretty good from what I've hunted with. He had a lot of litter mates that were really nice, the same qualities that he had.
How long you been hunting squirrel dogs?
I had a buddy here that I started working with that had cur dogs. His name's Sam Boschel. He had Kimmer dogs, and I got to hunting with him, and man, I loved it. I mean, we usually have a lot of squirrels here, so it's kind of always action packed usually. And he got me into it, and he used to competition hunt too, so we got to squirrel hunting, and he had some buddies that I met, and that's really what got me fired up about it. And actually, where I got skillet, Clay Seaman from Arkansas had come up with Steve Delaney, which Steve and Sam were really close friends. Well, Sam had to work, so I went hunting with him that weekend, opening weekend of squirrel season, and hunting with Skillet's mama, and she was dynamite. I mean, she was just, to me, just like Skillet. Good tree dog. He didn't coon hunt her till she was six. Treed the crap out of coon. A really good solid tree dog. Hustle, heart. Of course, she was yellow, which I like brindle better than yellow, but that's just a personal preference. But at that time when I hunted with them guys, I told Clay, I said, man, I'd really like a pup out of her. I said, remember me if you raise any. And he did, thank goodness. That's where Skillet come from. I got him when he was 6 weeks old.
What methods did you use to start him, and was he an early starter, a later starter, or?
He treed his first wild squirrel at 3.5 months old. I could kill a limit with him at 6 months old, easy. He was just a natural. Me and my brother was actually riding around in a buggy, and he was just a puppy, and a squirrel crossed the road in front of us, and he just went nuts, and it surprised me, because, I mean, like I said, he was just so young, and, you know, I thought, well, you know, that's kind of a weird deal, so we just kept on going, and another one crossed, and I actually put him down on it, and he treated, and
really?
it just, and a good tree dog right out of the gate. I mean, just every breath. And he just went on from there, you know, hunted pretty hard, and I actually sold him at one time and ended up getting him back like 6 months later. And so thankful I did, because I don't know if I'd ever, nothing would have ever been the same for me if I hadn't had him. But, you know, I worked 3 days a week and I hunt four, and I hunted every day I was off work. 4 days I'm off, I hunted every day. And that's what made him, you know.
So you do a lot of road hunting out of a buggy over there, don't you?
Yeah, I do some of each. I do more road hunting now than I used to. Usually have a bunch of friends come in every now and then, and we hunt and do that. But it, you know, it's pretty rough country over here, up and down, steep. Usually road hunting, it's you know, you make a lot of trees, so you're still walking your butt off, but they're usually less than 100 yards most of the time, each tree. But he, you know, there's a lot of people that think tree and squirrels road hunting, well, they just run across the road and you tree them, you know, hot road squirrels, it's been called. And, you know, like Skillet, you'd be roading down the road and he'd throw that head up in the air and he'd shoot in there 100 yards and just blam, just blow up tree. And you go in, kill the squirrel, come back, do it again. Or occasionally, you know, he'd work a track. Even like I said, you could see him working it through the woods on the bad days or the hot, dry days, and just bam, you know, he'd lock up tree. But he was a really good tree dog, you know. But that way, you know, you're not climbing up and down the hills and the mountains all the time and the rocks. So it's a little easier, and you actually keep the dogs in better shape than you do walk hunting them, to be honest.
Just because they travel more ground?
Yeah, and you know, you're kind of pushing the pace, so you kind of decide how fast you hunt. You know, and they hunt different style. He would stay in the road till he smelt a squirrel. Some dogs figure eight the road, you know, but he'd go right down the road in front of you, and like I said, just throw his head up and shoot in there. He'd wind them a long ways, you know. Same with coon. I coon hunt him that way too, and he was always like that. Just throw his head up and get in there and get treed, you know, or work a track. He would open on the ground a little bit on a coon, some, but he always had that locate, and you could tree him on it. When he located like that, it was over. I never competition hunted, coon hunted him much. He was in one cast, and actually Mark handled him, Mark Morrison, and I think we got second that night, and he treed a circle tree. It was a tree made, the only tree. Out of the Mississippi.
Yeah. How well Skillet is a reproducer? I know that you bred him quite a bit, and he had a bunch of nice dogs come out of him.
He had a lot of good squirrel dogs. You know, I Skillet himself, if he'd have been in the hands of a true competition hunter, he would have been a complete different dog. I feel like you could have won anything with him if he'd have been trained that way. I didn't know that part of it. I thought all I had to do was hunt him and kill squirrels to him. And don't get me wrong, because he was still a pretty good competition dog when he was young. I won quite a bit with him here and there. But his pups were kind of the same. Most of them treed squirrels and satisfied their owner, but there wasn't many that went to competition hunters. But he did reproduce squirrel dogs a lot. I mean, my opinion, he was pretty good at it. You know, according if they went to hands that hunted them. They kind of showed what turned out pretty similar to him a lot of the time.
Was there any particular cross or a type of dog that he seemed to cross well or better than others with?
He did okay with about anything, but I had a female that he crossed really good on that I called Bug. And Johnny Jackson's got a male in Oklahoma that he competition hunt a lot out of him, Night Train. And, but that whole cross, I don't know, I made it like four times, and I don't know of any that got the chance to be hunted that didn't make squirrel dogs. You know, they were really good. The Apache stuff seemed to cross really good on him. They give him a little bit more tree intensity. You know, I listened to Mark's podcast and heard him talk about the Kimmer tree style. He was more stylish than that. He would get up on the tree quite a bit, but he had kind of a shuffle. He would stand right at the base looking up the tree and go from one front leg to the other, just kind of rotate, just kind of a dance. You know, like Apache, he had the, they call it the stomp. He would bounce on both front legs, you know, if you watch any video of him or anything. But it's kind of unique how dogs do different. But Skillet did that, and that cross turned out, like I said, you got more intense dogs out of the Apache stuff just because it was in there. And you saw his winning ability, which he had pretty good winning ability, which, you know, they all say come from the Kimmer side. They could do both pretty good. I've got a pup out of Skillet, or I seen a pup anymore. She's seven. Jip, I call Pepper, that's out of Skillet and Dove. And she's a pretty nice dog, but you can see both parents in her a lot. You know, Skillet complimented about anything that you bred him to.
Yeah, I drew Johnny and Train. Train's a nice dog. He had a lot of go and a really nice mouth. I don't think I ever beat him on a squirrel cast. I did beat him in a coon hunt cast. But no, he's a very nice dog.
Yeah, I haven't talked to anybody that didn't like him, you know. And actually, I've bred a couple of Jips to Train. Just keeping that, I've got a young Jip here out of Train and another Jip that I have. And I'm probably going to breed Pepper to him, a half brother, half sister cross, and see what happens.
Yeah, that might work.
But a lot of my friends have litter mates or the same cross anyway as Train. And a lot of them, man, they're just dynamite, good tree dogs, hunt fast, just pretty nice dogs, you know?
Mm-hmm. That first time I drew Train, we hunted, I was hunting my hoss dog I had, and, It was a two-man cast, and it was just me and Johnny on it, and we were leash locked, and it was an NSD hunt, and we were leash locked and about got our guts walked out by the end of it. It was both dogs going separate directions and getting treated and being alone. It was a really fun cast. It came right down to the wire. He ended up being one tree ahead of me, but I think we ended up scoring 8 or 9 trees. It was a fun hunt.
That's awesome. Another thing that Skillet threw was looks. He threw better looking dogs than he actually was. Train to me is just about perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Pepper's the same. You know, I actually won the UMCA World Bench Show with her, which, you know, they're not real big. None of the bench shows are real big, but it's still kind of something I was a little proud of because she was cut up and, I mean, looked good, you know, and Train the same way. I think it has showed him he was good, but I like a good looking dog too.
Mm-hmm.
And a good tree dog. That's the two things that them two dogs are, and a lot of the dogs skill it through.
So what do you feel like, which we've kind of talked about this, but if you were going to give him, if you're going to give Skillet a ranking and just say, what do you feel like was his biggest strengths and weaknesses as a dog? What would you say they were?
His strengths were his heart, man. He'd do anything in the world to please you. Anything you ask of him. I had a buddy, well, Sam, the one that introduced me to squirrel hunting. He told me one time, he said, I don't care what you want to do. He said, it's amazing what he does, but you could ask him to bay hogs, he'd bay hogs. You could ask him to work cattle, he'd work cattle for you. And it was just kind of the relationship between me and him. I mean, he was almost like a person in a way. But his willingness to do what you want him to do was amazing to me. His weakness probably was, I'm going to go to the competition side a little here. Sometimes he didn't travel the best, which is a big cur dog issue. You can travel and they won't be the same dog sometimes away. You had to give him a little time if you traveled hunt a day or two ahead of time, and usually he was okay. Nobody else could handle him. He wouldn't do the same for them unless you was along on the cast. So if I didn't go along, he never acted right.
Gotcha.
That would be his faults for sure. Another strength would be his tree power. He was, you know, I won a lot of treeing contests, which is okay too, you know, but he was just so classy. He was just really good, you know. And I like, you know, I come from the hound world. So he was the closest thing that I wanted to get to a hound, if that makes sense. You know, I was ready to leave the hound world when I left and go to the squirrel dogs, but I still desire a good tree dog. And he absolutely was, and had a good big mouth you could hear for a long ways.
A minute ago, you were talking about how he wouldn't travel real well all the time. If you just out of curiosity, if you did take him somewhere, if you did travel with him and didn't have the time to hunt 2 or 3 days in advance, what are the kind of things that he would do?
He would, and it always seemed to be different. It was like if you traveled somewhere just to squirrel hunt, you didn't notice anything. But if you were in a competition cast, he would tap trees a little bit. It was almost like he lost his confidence. And like I touched on also earlier, if I had been a different trainer and knew more about the competition ways, I could have fixed that.
Yeah.
Not all of it, probably, but a lot of it. He would have been a different dog in the competition hunts. Which, like I said, he had a pretty good track record anyway. Now I mostly hunted UMCA and NKC at that time. OMCBA was so far away most of the time, and I didn't get to go. I did travel to one. I went to Jamestown one time, and like I said, my buddy handled him, and he wasn't the same for him.
What I know you did some winning with him. What were some of the things that Skillet accomplished as far as winnings?
Oh, he was a squirrel champion in NKC, squirrel champion in UMCA, Grand Bench champion, Grand Tree. But he got Ehrlichia when he was five, I guess, and I kind of cut him short on the competition. I quit going, and everything kind of changed about that time at the competition hunts too. So I was just ready to be done with that and squirrel hunting. But, man, I had people travel in and hunt with me all the time, or I went to their place and hunted all the time, you know, after that. But he had plenty of titles for me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got any other good stories about old Skillet?
Well, we touched about his handle a while ago. I was actually on a cast in Mississippi one time, and he had treed a squirrel across the slough, and the slough was probably 100 yards wide. And actually, the other dogs, we were split treed, so they were back over way, so he's going to score his tree first. Well, I asked the judge, I said, hey, if you guys go to, because the slough's deep, I can't swim. I didn't know how deep this thing was, you know. I said, if you guys get to the tree, I said, can I handle my dog here? And you guys score the tree. And they said, well, absolutely. So we'll be at the tree. We know he's there. And you can handle him however you want to. I said, okay. So they took off around, which I could see Skillet the whole time. Well, they walked around and actually crossed part of the slough. It was pretty deep. Got over to him, and they say, okay, now how are you going to do this? How are you going to handle him? I just hollered at him, Skillet, come here. And he swam that dude all the way to me, and I tied him over there, and then we searched the tree and found the squirrel. But you could call him across water. You could call him off trees. If he could hear me, he was coming to me. He was just smart, you know. If I had to give him an edge over other cur dogs, that's probably what it would be, with just his brains. You know, we'd go on buggy rides on the weekend sometimes, me and buddies, and I'd take him with me. And every now and then somebody'd say, can he really tree squirrels like that? I said, oh yeah. And we'd just be sitting around down at the river or whatever, and I didn't even have him hooked. I'd just take him out of the buggy. He knew what I wanted. He'd just shoot in there and tree a squirrel just all the time. I mean, people were just amazed with him, to be honest. And not that he was any better than anything else. Not really saying that, but he was definitely unique for any kind of dog. He, like I said, just the bond that we had. And I've had several other good dogs out of him also that I like, but none of them's really conquered his personality. They've had it, but not like he did.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen a rock you take pictures on a whole bunch of times with a whole bunch of squirrels. I'm not asking for where that rock is, but what can you tell us about that rock?
That turned into kind of a funny story. I've got a couple buddies here, and I like pictures, not necessarily for tailgate pictures, but just for pictures, just for art. So, like, there's a couple different rocks, but the one main one is a place that I hunt a lot, and it's got that big lake behind it, and that's why we started taking them there. And then it just grew. I have a buddy that lives here pretty close to me that hunts a lot of the same areas, and he got to doing it, and then it just kind of blew up, you know. And, you know, you've seen the poster, everybody's joking about the rock and all that. So it's, I don't know, we took, I just like taking different pictures is a lot of it, but that one's kind of funny. But me and my buddy, the same guy that uses the rock sometimes too, we actually have a park here that's got a like an amphitheater. And one Saturday after we got done hunting, we killed a limit of squirrels. We went down there on the stage of the amphitheater and took pictures of our tailgate. Just, you know, it just, I like to have fun whenever I do too. But we're blessed with so much hunting here, public land, which I've got a lot of private too. But man, the public land here is just amazing, really. And it gives me, you know, I've got 100,000 acres here that I'm 30 minutes from. Just different directions.
That's pretty
So
awesome.
I've got a place like that rock at every one of them. There's another lake that I go to quite a bit and take pictures on picnic tables in front of it. There's a big picnic table and took some there, and it's pretty unique. That was also where we took one of the pictures. You know, Skillet was on the cover of Full Cry twice, and just and not really because of him, but just because of the pictures were good, just kind of artwork. I took one in the snow. We had about a foot of snow on, and he treed a squirrel, and I took it actually with my phone, and it made the cover. And then I had a buddy from Arkansas come up that also squirrel hunted. He actually bred a Skillet a couple times and had some pretty good dogs off out of the crosses. But he come up with a camera, and we had a ball, went and took a bunch of pictures, and one of those made it on the cover of Full Cry as well.
That's pretty awesome. What I know you do some other. I know you run some coyote hounds. What other kind of dogs have you been into in your life? I know I think I've seen some pictures of you even as a kid running coyote hounds.
Yeah, I you know, growing up, my dad and grandpa run foxhounds, and we lived on a dairy farm, so we'd get done milking and with chores, and we'd go hunting, we'd go run dogs, you know. But we always had foxhounds, and we always had beagles. You know, my grandpa passed away. I think I was 20, 21. My dad kind of got out of the hound business then. And so you know, I've always had a passion for hunting with dogs. So I got into coon hunting for several years, and did that and liked it. And then it just got too complicated. You know, you had too much big money in it. It was hard for your regular working guy to compete in the big stuff. And timber industry went kind of crazy here, cutting timber. So I thought, you know what? You can tree a squirrel on 5 acres here. I mean, we have a lot of squirrels usually. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna get a squirrel dog, especially after I'd been hunting with Sam and a few other guys, like I said, Clay Seaman, where I got Skillet, and them guys. And so when I got him, he was luckily easy to train, easy to get going, and he more or less taught me more than I trained him, to be honest. And just went from there, and I got, of course, I still squirrel hunt pretty hard, but also, like you said, I got back into coyote hounds, and I love it. But it's just kind of it's just my passion, you know, hunting with dogs. I can honestly say I've never had a dog that meant to me as much as Skillet did. I've had a couple other that was close, but Skillet was just, like I said, he was more like somebody. You know, you could have a down day and have him with you, and it's like he understood everything he was going through. It was just kind of an amazing deal with him. Not only was he good at his trade, which he was, he could tree the far out of squirrels. A lot of people has told me he's the best they ever hunted with. But he was just, the companion part of him, you know, was what made him what he was, really. Like I said, we traveled all over together. And, you know, I had them boys from Arkansas, Gary Mitchell and Joe Walker, Dee Patton, you know, I got to know them a little bit. And one of the first hunts I was at down there, I took Skillet to, I remember Gary saying, man, there's no telling where you're going to show up. He said, you're somewhere every weekend. And I said, well, I said, I like it. And I said, I think I could compete pretty good. And we laughed. And the friends I've made through squirrel hunting is amazing. Like I said, Mark Morrison is a good friend of mine. Jeremy Garner, good friend of mine. I could go on forever with the people I've met and still friends with Reed Franks, who had the Tennessee Maximus dog. Just good friends, you know, that Skillet has made me. But he was just fun to hunt. You know, you just go kill squirrels, kill a sack full of squirrels. Even in the heat, it didn't matter. You really couldn't slow him down. He just had that passion and heart that he was just going to go tree squirrels, no matter how you wanted to do it, you know. Even like, you know, you got these guys that say road hunting is easy, like I touched on before. But I guess they think that the squirrel just runs across the front of the dog, or they just cross the road right before the dog gets there. Well, those are the hardest ones to tree. Most dogs cannot do that. Most dogs will go backwards on them or can't smell them. I don't know what the deal is, but anybody that's hunted that way, and even coon hunting, you see that once in a while where they can't do that. Well, I could get Skillet out of the buggy and put him on one, you know, right after it crossed, and he could tree it. He was one of the few dogs that I've actually seen that could do that. And I don't know I don't know why, you know, like I said, anybody that's hunted has seen that a little bit though. You know, I've seen it when I had hounds, when I coon hunted a lot, but it's just, for some reason, they can't smell him real good, but he could do it. He just was pretty good. Never had a mean ill bone toward anything or anybody. I had a pup out of him named Juice, and he was a heck of a good dog in his own right. He went on one Ohio State hunt up there right after I sold him. But I kept them in the same pen, never had a bit of problem with them. You know, two males, you'd normally never ever do that. But he seemed to, even his pups were that way though. They never had any kind of meanness or super, super hyper, you know, ignorant acting, really.
Mm-hmm. When you were competition hunting him, did you feel like he needed squirrels? Like, could you hunt him and get him? Would you tune him up for a hunt by just working him like it was a comp style hunt? Or did you feel like that would take away from him and he needed the squirrels?
Well, most of your guys don't like killing squirrels to their dogs, because that's what gets them looser around the tree, they feel like. From what, you know, like I said, I know a lot of guys and made a lot of friends at competition hunt, and everybody's pretty much the same on that. But when I got him, I killed squirrels to him. I mean, that's what I enjoyed doing. I enjoyed squirrel hunting. So that's what we did. Now, I think he could have been better if I hadn't have, you know. I didn't necessarily cut him and send him. I usually walked with him, but he would take off and go. I think he could have been trained different that way, but I always killed squirrels. I don't think you'd have had to, because he was a good tree dog. And I absolutely, and that was bred into him, of course, but I don't think you'd have had to kill squirrels to him at all for him to do what he did.
I was just curious about that. I was curious to hear your thoughts on it anyways.
Well, there are just so many tricks that you can use to keep them tied on a tree. But a lot of the guys don't kill squirrels to them. You know, when you go to shooting all the time and getting squirrels to timber and they get to looking and seeing everything, it does make them, you know, you've got to work on them all the time for that then. But he wasn't. I mean, don't get me wrong, because it never loosened him up. But that's just what a lot of your big time handlers and hunters, winners say. And that's how they prefer to hunt, most of them. But I rained squirrels down on him. I mean, there's several years that I killed close to 1,000 squirrels to him.
That's a lot of squirrels.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. But like I said, our season opens up the end of May and runs till February 15th. And before I got into coyote hounds again, I hunted 4 days a week. I mean, I literally, I worked 3 days, I worked 12s, you know, at the hospital. But I hunted my butt off. And we'd hunt all day. I mean, it wasn't like we'd go out for a couple hours. We hunted all day. And Skillet would be on the ground. He was the only thing I had a lot of the time then. So, I mean, he would be on the ground going the whole time, you know, unless I was hunting with somebody that had another dog. And but we never hunted them together, you know. We always hunted them solo. So we would pick him up and put their dog out or whatever. If we was road hunting, now if we was walking, it was different. We'd have two dogs loose together. But and then you was usually walking to trees that were quarter apart or half mile apart, just because, you know, most of them have that competition instinct bred into them, or nowadays where they don't want a tree together. So unless you just pop one up right when you turn loose, they were going to get apart and get treed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always a natural stay put tree dog as far as pressure like that. He wouldn't ever pull to another dog. Whole gun pressure. That was one of the, I went with some buddies of mine up at Ava, and we was walk hunting and walked a lot, and dogs would get split. We'd go to one dog, kill their squirrel. When we first started, I wouldn't even go to him and tie him up or anything. We'd go to them, to their tree, kill their squirrel, and then go to him, and he would never move, you know. And gun pressure is a little different when you go to raining squirrels down than even dog pressure, you know. Uh-huh. To me, it's a stronger trait to stay treed then than it is just from another dog getting treed. That's just my opinion. But, and that's, them guys were just amazed, you know, because he was just about a year old then. And he would hold every bit of gun pressure you put on him.
So what's the story behind his name? How'd you end up coming up with Mo Meat and the Skillet?
Well, Skillet actually come from, we went to a concert, and there was a Christian band named Skillet. And we went to that concert, and I was sitting there, and I was supposed to get him, like, in the next 2 weeks. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, Skillet. I thought, man, that'd be an awesome dog's name. And then from that, I don't remember what buddy it was, but we was joking. You know, cur dogs are known as meat dogs. And actually, the Mo actually stood for Missouri. And nobody knows that. I don't think I've ever mentioned that any time before. But Mo Meat, Missouri Meat in the Skillet is what it actually stood for. But I just thought it was a cool name and something fun, you know, to go with.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked Skillet because I didn't know if any other dog had ever been named Skillet.
He's the only one I've heard of.
And believe me, he filled plenty of skillets in his life.
I know, with as much as you hunted him, I'm sure that there's other, like, is there any other just extraordinary things that you've seen him do?
Just really his handle was, I haven't seen anything handled like him. Now, Maya, don't get me wrong, because I put that on any dog that I have. Even my coyote hounds have that kind of handle. But I'd take him to the river with me, swimming. He'd swim with me. I could get out in chest deep water, and he'd swim. I could call him, and he'd swim to me and swim around me until I sent him back to the bank. I'd take it, and I didn't have a tracking collar on him when I'd take him to the river, and sometimes he'd wander off and get treed up on the bluff, you know. So I'd have to holler at him, but I could, just to check on him, I could holler at him, and he'd be right there in seconds, you know. I mean, he just knew my voice and wanted to be with me. But he did one time, I had some buddies actually tuning him up for a world hunt I went to. And he treed a den tree that had like a key lock hole in the side of it. You know, where it was, it actually was upside down. It was big on the top and then narrowed down to a long rip in the tree.
Uh-huh.
And somehow he got his head up high in the hole and then slid down and was hanging off the ground. They actually went in and found him. They didn't know what they was going to do. One of my buddies stayed there holding him up because they couldn't get him unlodged, but they were holding him up where he wasn't hanging anymore once they got there. But, you know, it's remarkable that he made it through that. There were other things that he just, the Ehrlichia, like I said, that sometimes, you know, when the heat got bad, he struggled a little bit, as in they lose a little bit of their nose, I think, when they have that. And I've had hounds that have it that lose their mouth, but he never lost his mouth. He was always had that good tree dog. And when they, I guarantee you with him, you know, he had lung cancer is what actually I had to have him put down, but he had lung cancer. And I guarantee you I could have took him out that day and he would have treed squirrels for me. He just had more heart than anything I'd ever been around. Just the will to please me. He just wanted to do it. But he loved treeing squirrels. But he was just, you know, like a lot of dogs get when they get older, they'll tell you if the squirrels are moving. He'd always hunt, never failed to hunt. But you could tell the difference in his hunting style when the squirrels wasn't moving. He wasn't going to tree anything. You could just tell that, oh, we might as well go home because we're not going to do no good at all. You know, there was a time, another cool story. I had a buddy come in and we hunted and it was in February and there was snow on the ground. It was 18 or 19 degrees. We wanted to go hunting. So we went hunting and I think he's the only dog that we took and he made 23 den trees. And I was kind of frustrated. I thought, man, we couldn't even see a squirrel. You know, I got to question him, which honestly was stupid. We did see one squirrel. I'll take that back. One run his head out of a hole. But my buddy, it was almost like a kick in the butt, you know, so to speak. He goes, look, he said, all he's doing is treeing where he can smell squirrels. He said, leave him alone. You know, and I never was rough on him, nothing like that at all. But I was questioning, you know, is he really treeing squirrels? Is he, what's he doing? But, you know, he brought a valiant point that where he was treeing, which where he was smelling squirrels was where he was treeing. And he did have the one in the den. They were all legitimate dens, but it was kind of a crazy deal.
So back to the Ehrlichia, that's a tick. I don't know too much about it. I've never had a dog with it, but that's a tick-borne illness, correct?
It is. They say it comes from I can't remember what they call it exactly, the name of the tick, but it's the tick that has the white dot in the middle of its back. They've always told me that's the tick that carries it. I think it's got to be stuck on the dog for at least 24 hours before it can transmit the disease. I've actually had several dogs with it. I had a really good coon hound that it took his mouth, took his voice. We still won a lot with him after that, but we had to doctor him a lot to get what voice we could back. And he had a huge mouth before that. But still, it never affected his mouth. It affected his nose, maybe a hair. But in the heat of the summer, he wasn't 100%, I would say. I would say he was still 95, probably. But he slowed down a little bit. You know, the heat got to him a little bit after that. But it's something, it comes back on dogs usually every year. I think they've come a long ways in treating it. Used to, doxycycline is what they give you. And they used to do it for 15 days. And I think they found out now. And from my experience, you really need to keep them on it for 30. I'm no vet, but I've seen that work a lot, you know, and to actually get them closer to cured. But here in Missouri, they say that most of your dogs will test positive for Ehrlichia. It's extremely common. And it affects them all different. That's the bad thing. You know, I've seen it kill dogs before.
I was going to say, but what are the signs?
Most of the time, it doesn't affect them that bad. And some of them, not at all. Some of them, you'll never tell they've had it.
You got any other advice for somebody that might end up having a dog come down with Ehrlichia?
Like with him, I spent enough time with him to tell something was up. And, man, if you question anything, always get them checked out. You know, it might cost you a little bit of something. But, man, if you catch anything early, you know, and it can be treated. But I really think, if you don't let them go through the whole thing, they turn out better. So I always carry, and I also carried Doxy in my dog box. That was more for my hounds. But a lot of times it would show up, like I said, in the summertime, in the heat. So as long as you got them on Doxy, you could put them on Doxy for a couple weeks, and they'd be back to normal, you know. So that would be probably my biggest advice, is always keep that on hand. And second, of course, get them to the vet and get them checked if you think there's anything like that. You know, I've had dogs with Ehrlichia and heartworms at the same time. That was a rough one, but we got them through it and they were okay even, you know, but that was after, you know, that was the 30 days of Doxy. It just It kind of knocks it. And it's the same dosage they give people. That's what's kind of amazing about it.
Really?
Of course, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I work at a hospital. So, you know, I've seen that treated and talked to different doctors about it, which I don't know, it's Ehrlichia with people. It's more Rocky Mountain tick fever and that stuff. But that's how they treat all the tick diseases from what I understand.
So I thought I'd heard somewhere that the Ehrlichia was worse. The hot spots, if you looked at the map, was around army bases, different places in the U.S. If you, the closer you were to an army base, and it had to do with where the disease came from. If I'm thinking of the right one, I think I am.
I've not heard that, but you know, of course, I'm what, an hour, 10, 15 minutes away from Fort Leonard Wood.
Yeah.
So I mean, that kind of would make sense. You know, like I said, I haven't heard that, but anything like that's a possibility. But it's real. I know it's real bad here, because I mean, I know everybody's had problems with it one time or another. We all try to keep, actually, and I can't even think of the name of the pill, but it keeps ticks off of them for 3 months. It's kind of pricey, but it's the best way to go by far. I always kept the Seresto collar on Skillet. That was before the pills come out, and they worked pretty good at the time. You kind of got to manufacture a way to keep them on, because they're not made for hunting dogs really. But we would get them to stay on the best of our ability. I don't think I ever lost one, but they did work back then anyway. I haven't used one in a while.
Well, we're getting short on time, but you got any good last story to close us out on?
Oh, let me think. You know, it's weird, because there's so many. And he's, you know, he's been gone since 2019, but he's still pretty fresh in my memory all the time. Just, I would say, you know, the conservation department come to me wanting to do squirrel hunts for kids and adults that never squirrel hunted before. So I got to do that twice. We did it two different times. We went to Licking one time up there to the nursery. And we actually had a lot of the adults show up from, we had two or three people from Columbia, never really been around country folk, so to speak, you know, and they'd seen this ad, they run an ad about it. And I think we had 20 people at that first one. And like I said, most of them were adults or adults with kids. And man, it was a blast. We walked around, and I don't know, we treat three or four squirrels on the outside and some dens, you know how it goes. But everybody was just so amazed. And of course, he hammed it up for the kids. He loved kids. And then later on that year, we did another one, and we probably had, oh, I'd say 10 or 12 kids at the other one. It was done here in Howe County on a private farm. And I think we actually killed 7 or 8 squirrels, you know, with the agent that went with us. And we had a blast, little kids shooting squirrels out of the tree to him. And everybody was just amazed and had a ball with him, you know. It's a great way to introduce kids to hunting with dogs, because you don't have to be quiet. You can talk, cut up, laugh, you know, when he's treed, you know, I mean, it's easy, and it comes easy, and it's exciting. And he was just, he liked to show out in those situations, you know. He liked attention, and he'd tree a squirrel and we'd knock it out. Of course, he'd bring it to whoever killed it, and them kids would just roll all over him, you know. But it was fun, and that's something that I really like to do, is to get people that's not hunted before like that involved with education. You know, if we don't educate them on this stuff, it's going to disappear one of these days. Or, you know, the animal rights activist or whatever is going to push to get it taken away from us. And, you know, I love dog hunting too much to let that happen. So I try to educate and talk all the time. Which I don't shut up much, you know, but still, it was a good teacher in that, you know, the kids loved him, and he just loved to perform for them. And everybody was always amazed when they went with him. And that's honestly how he got popular, or people knew about him, was for me talking, of course, because I hope I never come across arrogant with him, because that wasn't my thing. he was a good dog, super good dog. But I'm not saying he was the best ever, you know. He was definitely better than average. But I talked about him a lot because he meant a lot to me. He was I don't know. It's just one of those special bonds you get with a once in a lifetime dog. But he trained a lot of people on squirrel hunting, showed them what, and everybody seemed to like him pretty good. It ever went with him.
Well, he surely sounded like he was an amazing dog.
You know, I think I met you. You bred a Jip to him, matter of fact.
I did.
And I met you, and I believe he was in the cab of the truck with me when I met you.
I think you're right.
He rode with me. He was just, I don't know. And I know a lot of people don't get that close to their dogs, but he just had that personality and heart, but he was good at what he did all the way around. You know, I had a good friend of mine call me. And we had done some coon hunting shows before, G3 Sportsman, my buddy Scott Turnage. And he called me when I got into squirrel hunting. He said, hey, he said, I want to do a squirrel hunting show. I said, man, let's do it. I said, you know, I thought, oh, that'll be exciting, you know, and I like doing those. And he was good to us. Actually give me, they were sponsored by Garmin. He actually gave me my first Alpha and a TT10 collar for being on it. So he called me. We met up one day, and actually it had snowed, and there was about 6 inches of snow on. And he met me and my buddy Sam that got me started. And I actually hunted Skillet and Juice. And we ended up treeing 6 or 7 squirrels and had a ball. And you could kind of see everything about them, you know, in that TV show. But it's on YouTube. You can actually Google G3 Sportsman Squirrel Hunt and watch it. And you guys can see what Skillet was kind of like for yourselves and see what a pup out of Skillet was like. You know, Juice was a super good dog. I mean, he was more, he actually probably would have made a better competition dog because he was more robotic, if that makes sense. He was more machine-like. He did kind of the same things. He was a classier tree dog as far as up on the tree all the time. Barked good too. He was a good tree dog. He had some jukebox in him, and I think that helped a little bit. But he was Kimmer too, mixed in there. But it'd be kind of cool if you guys wanted to go see what they looked like and how they operated, because it's all on the TV show, and you can see us killing squirrels and cutting up, and that's the kind of fun we had when we squirrel hunt, you know, giving each other a hard time and joking around. But that was an awesome thing, because that was one of the first ones that I know of that done a squirrel hunt on TV. You know, they've done several since. And I think actually Johnny Jackson mentioned that Training Deal, which Deal's a younger brother to Train that he has, they were going to do maybe a TV show, but I'm not sure if that ever happened, but that was a possibility coming up, I think. But it's kind of a unique way. And now there's video and stuff you can watch, Facebook, but you can actually, like, if you're trying to get into squirrel hunting, you can watch dogs and their mannerisms. And, you know, it's not just tailgates, because there's ways you can fix tailgates. But, you know, in videos when they're treed, there's not a lot you can fix about that. That's really how the dog is, you know. So it's a good way, video, like the TV show, or like I said, even Facebook. That's a good way to see, get interested in, maybe pick 3 or 4 dogs that you would like to have a pup out of that line if you're getting started. But you can look at, like I said, you can Google G3 Sportsman Squirrel Hunt, and YouTube, it's on there, and you can watch them, look at them, see everything about them. It's kind of cool. But you can check out Skillet. You know, that's been, I don't know, we were probably recorded that in, I'm going to say 2016 or 17. So it's been a good while ago.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people look that up and check him out.
That's just a little advice, you know. Like I said, you can kind of, you don't necessarily, you pick 3 or 4 and then go hunt with them yourselves and see. But, you know, video or that way you can pick some bloodlines that you might be interested in. I've always used it and thought it was a good way to do it.
Yeah. Well, Randy, I sure appreciate you coming on and giving us your time and telling us about your dog. He really sounded like he was a special one. I think he's the kind of dog that everybody's hoping to find.
Yeah, and I honestly wish everybody would find one like that. He would lead them through life, honestly.
Yep. Well, everybody, take care and keep wearing out that boot leather.
I just want to give everyone that's listening a sincere thank you. Getting this podcast going has been a project. I really hope you're enjoying it, and if you don't mind, give the show a good rating and review wherever you're listening to it at, or share it on your social media to help get some traction. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to your feedback.